Quel'Thalas shines once again.
Hey there.
Hello.
Hi there.
Greetings. For the good of all, Bromkar.
Hi there.
Our destiny awaits.
Hey.
Hello.
How are you?
Greetings.
Hello, and welcome to Control Alt WoW, the podcast for those of us who love World of Warcraft and love making many alts. Today is Monday, June 30th, 2008. And this is episode 69, entitled Summer Fire Festival Continues. I am your host, Aprilian, and with me is my co-host, Asheo. Good morning, Asheo.
Good morning, Aprilian. Good morning, everybody.
How are you today?
Splendid.
Wow, what a coincidence. So am I. Have we been having fun this week?
Oh, It's been a different week. It's in terms of what I've achieved and what I've been spending my time on. So, yeah, fun.
You know, the nicest thing about these little I'll call them holidays in World of Warcraft, for lack of a better word, is that it stirs up things, it makes things a little bit more interesting, but it also sometimes redirects you. You know.
For sure.
Yeah, you might be going on one path or going one way right before this all starts, and you know, and then you'll find yourself doing something completely different.
Yep.
So, as we mentioned last week, the Summer Fire Festival is on in Azeroth. It's a pretty long one, I guess. It's fairly long.
I mean, when we say it's on, I guess by the time people hear this, there'll probably be only a day or two left.
Right. Yeah, two or three days left. Yeah. And it coincidentally ends on July 4th.
Yes.
Which means fireworks, for those that don't know. If you get to Thunder Bluff, they have fireworks. Anywhere else, do they have fireworks on the Alliance side? Well, they must, right?
Oh, yeah. But I don't remember. I don't remember what happened in the last couple of years, to be honest, on the 4th of July. It's not
I always go to Thunder Bluff and watch the fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have them every hour on the hour for that evening.
Right.
And overnight. So.
Which is during the day for me, so I probably miss it, depending on how long they do it for.
Yeah. Have you maxed out your Fire Blossoms yet?
I've maxed out my tolerance for doing more Fire Blossoms.
Which part? The getting the flames or the torch catching and throwing?
Both. But mainly getting the blossoms.
So for those that don't know, or just to recap, there's flames in every city, or every major city, and flames in a lot of the smaller cities or outside the cities.
It's essentially near the Horde and Alliance flight points in just about every zone. I mean, there's some exceptions like Ashara and Felwood, but pretty much, fly to a zone.
Or a blood hoof.
Right, so some of them are a bit further
Camp
out.
Blood hoof.
But in general, I mean, you know, it's pretty obvious where they're going to be.
Yeah, it's a little bit similar to where the Elders were.
Yeah.
Except for the far out zones.
But even more obvious than that, because, some of the Elders were, like, you know, out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. Or in instances.
Yeah.
There aren't any fires in instances.
No.
But there's several ways that you can get these fire blossoms, and then there's vendors in the major cities where you... Oh, I think there's vendors at every fire where you can trade in your blossoms.
Well, I don't know. I keep going back to Orgrimmar, so I mean...
But I know there was one at every
really
table.
Yeah.
There's a table. In the tent, and there's somebody, yep. Because I know I saw one out at...
And there was actually vendors there that you could buy your rewards for?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yep, pretty sure.
Well, dope.
So, you can earn blossoms by putting out a fire, by honoring a fire on your faction, that's five blossoms. Putting out a fire on another faction, that's 10. No, desecrating it. But when you put out the fire, nothing happens. You just get the satisfaction of
when you get flagged PvP and
when you desecrate the fire, you get flagged PvP and you get 10 blossoms.
That's what I meant.
But there's another step that you can actually put the fire out, and there's a it's after you get the reward. You can click on the fire one more time, and the fire goes, and you put it out. I don't know. You don't get anything for that. Other than
I've just been clicking on them to complete the quest.
Right. Well, if you right after you complete the quest, you can also click on the fire again. Okay. And yeah, which has led to certain comments about streams, guild chat.
Mm.
We won't talk about that. And then after you do that, you know, you go to every city, you can steal a flame in the major cities of the opposite factions. We'll talk more about that. And that gets you 25. Did you do four? And did you do all four of the...
I did them all on Ashayo, so she's got the headpiece. And okay. I did a couple of them on Jekyll and Hyde.
Okay, because you get 25. And then if you complete all four, you get some special fire headpiece.
Yeah, it's a reward for thieving the flames, and the reward is a halo, which I find hilarious. It's a headpiece that looks like a halo.
and a fiery halo, right? Or just a halo?
No, just a normal halo.
Okay. And then there's other things that you can buy with your blossom points, including a vestment, a chest piece that when you dance, it lights up. And then there's these shoulders, which I actually really want for my bank alt.
Yeah,
because you know they look kind of cool. Plus, there aren't any lower level shoulder pieces.
That's right. Yeah, to be fairly high to get decent, you know, before you get any shoulder pieces.
Yeah, and I wonder if there's anyone out there. Isn't there I think there's a higher level stamina thing for shoulders. But you probably can't enchant it on anything low level. I'd be interested to see.
You probably could, but it'd be a complete waste.
Yeah. Well, if you wanted to do a twink.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think you could get them.
So, anyways, let's get on with what we've been doing. And do you want to go first, or do you want me to go first?
I forget whose turn it is, so I'll go first.
Okie dokie.
So I'm going to start this week off with a tip of the week. I don't think I'll make it a regular thing. It's just something that cropped up in guild chat yesterday that I went, gee, isn't it funny the things that you take for granted that other people go, wow, I didn't know you could do that. So someone was explaining that they just spent some inordinate amount of time upgrading their bags. I'm like, okay, right. And it's like, yeah, so I had to, like, shuffle stuff around and make one bag empty so that I could replace that with a bag and then shuffle everything into that to make another bag empty.
Oh, poor baby. And I'm like, oh, my God.
You just drag and drop a bag down into your bag slots down the bottom and just auto-replaces everything. And they're like, what? And then about four or five other people chimed in guild chat saying, I've been playing this game for 3 years and I didn't know you could do that. Oh my god.
So, that must have been so awful. So
how tedious.
Yes.
So yes, people, you don't need to empty out a bag to upgrade it. You can just drag in your new bag into your slots down the bottom and it will just replace everything. Don't go shuffling.
And then and give you the extra whatever bag that you got, extra slots.
I mean, some extra slots, free slots appear. I thought that was funny, so there you go.
Yes.
So, yes, I have spent the vast majority of this week running around collecting blossoms. So I started off with Jekyll and Hyde, determined to get their 350 blossoms. And I achieved that fairly easily because, you know, obviously being 70, there's quite a number of, well, you know, there's two, there's a fire and you know, your side quests in every zone of the Outlands, and you know, with epic flyers, you know, they're really quick and easy to get. You just fly around, buzz, done. You know, the Alliance, you know, don't even after you've been flagged, they're just as busy running around in the opposite direction, and you know, there's very little actual PvP going on out there. So I did all that and got a whole bunch of blossoms on Jekyll and Hyde, and then I thought I'll try for the city ones. So I'd been in a raid with the Shao and got all the city ones with the Shao. So I headed to Iron Forge and ran in the front gates, and of course the guards chased me, and I just ran until they stopped chasing me and basically headed over towards the fire. I snuck over there with Jekyll in stealth mode, and there was about, I don't know, half a dozen or so Alliance standing around the fire. I'm thinking, as soon as I come out of here, I'll be dead. So I sent Hyde around the other way, and he ran around and up to the fire and basically, stood there and did a virtual nada, 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 and turn around and run off again. And predictably, they all chased him. So Jekyll just wandered out and put the fire out and wandered off again.
So, how funny.
And then they realised what had gone on and turned around and killed us both. But it was too late. I got my blossoms. I got my reward. So, that was good. So I went and did the same in Stormwind and they fell for it again. So that's fun. I didn't get it on Hyde, I just got it on Jekyll. They got their 350 blossoms first. Jekyll got the brazier, the dancing flames. Okay. And Hyde got the non-combat pet, which I found very disappointing. It just looked to me like a dead night elf wandering or following me around. It's just a wisp of red. And I'm like, okay. So I've got this red dead night elf following me around now. It's a pretty crappy non-combat pet. So I didn't get any more of them.
What did you think of the brazier, though?
The brazier was good.
Yeah. Did you get the urge to put some dollars down?
No, I just danced with it.
Okay.
as soon as you put it down and dance with it, and because you turn into a flaming dancer as well, it's like everybody.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. If you click on it and do a slash dance, you actually turn into a larger version of the actual Draenei dancer.
Cool.
And anybody around can do it. So as soon as you put one down and dance with it, like everybody around runs over and clicks on it and dances as well. There's all these flaming, dancing Draenei standing around. It's pretty cool.
Cool.
So then I decided that I would take a trek on one of my mages and see whether... One of my level 20, I think by that stage I was already 26. So I'd gone around to all the low level flames that you can get to as a 25, and picked up all the blossoms there. So, and I think I'd already dinged 26 in by doing that. Thought, I wonder how many more I can get. So I proceeded to travel over the entirety of Azeroth with one of my mages. Being followed by my priest, and I got every single flight point in every zone where there was a blossom on my level 25 mage.
Oh, how cool!
So, I won't bore you with the path that I took. I'll put it in the show notes. But yes, it's fun trying to run probably about level 27 by the time I get to Burning Steps, and of course, as soon as you step into Burning Steps, you aggro things on the other side of the zone, and they run to you. So it was good with the priest because the priest has got the bubble, and a hot heal over time. So as soon as you get aggro, you put a bubble on the mage and put a heal on it, and that basically does enough to pull aggro off the mage, and then they turn around and start whacking on the priest, and the priest has a fear and they run off, and you just keep running. And I died a few times.
Yeah, that's better. Okay. Go ahead. So you went to Fellwood?
Yeah, so even up in Fellwood, I ran up through Fellwood and didn't die at all through Fellwood, and I'm thinking, should I stop and actually grind some rep to get neutral, or will I just try and run through? And no, bugger, I'll just try and run through. And actually managed to run through on the mage. And
not aggro?
Oh, no, I aggroed. I aggroed immediately.
Oh,
So the other thing that makes it a little bit easier with the mage, of course, is blink.
Blink.
And yeah. So
what is blink exactly? I've heard of it.
Blinks, you know, jumps forward. You basically, you know, take this massive leap forward 30, 40 yards.
And what does it cost? Does it cost anything?
No, it doesn't cost anything.
But it has a cooldown.
It costs you some mana and it has a cooldown.
All right.
So it basically gets you, you know, out of melee range of whatever it's attacking you.
Right.
So if you can, and if they've hit you and got the you know, the frost debuff to slow them down a bit, and then you blink so you get a bit further away, and you know, and you keep running. It was tough, but it was a lot of fun as well. So cool. I got through all of them up to as high as Winterspring and Burning Steps. Basically, so like this level at the end of doing all that, level 28. So by that stage, I'd put on 3 full levels just by doing the Blossom quests.
Oh, how cool! So you'll be ready for the test patch then. She'll be 30 by the time
So that was in Azeroth, and then I thought, I'm 28. I've still got some blossoms out in the Outlands that I haven't
got
yet.
Didn't. So. Oh my god!
So we headed to the Outlands, and that started to get even harder. But I managed to get down to Terrakar Forest and get the 2 there, fly back up to Shat.
And the flight paths.
Yeah, and the flight paths up to Zangarmash and. Got the flight points there and the blossoms there. Then across to Hellfire Peninsula, and I died going through the pass to Hellfire Peninsula, which was quite predictable. And that was the one point where I did do a corpse jump to get to Falcon Watch for the flight point. So at this point, I'm corpse jumping and grabbing that flight point. Flew back to Zangarmash from there, ran down into Nagrand and got the 2 fires in Nagrand, which was very interesting because the direct path, there's all these buzzards in the way and I think they spotted me before I even got into Nagrand.
They went, I smell a lobby somewhere in Outland.
and in Nagrand, I dinged 29. So that was 4 entire levels just by collecting the blossoms.
That is awesome.
And the best part of it, because you don't eat into your rested experience.
Oh, yeah.
When you, by completing a quest, you only eat into your rested experience actually by killing mobs and getting experience. My rested bar hasn't moved at all. I've got 4 levels of experience and my rested bar's still off. God knows we're off into level 11, 31, 32 somewhere.
How cool.
So there was a level 29, I got it at 28, level 28 mage with the brazier standing around with 350 blossoms. And I had a few whispers like, how on earth did you get 350 blossoms at level 28?
So, are you going to go back and do it again? Don't you have 2 mages?
I do. I've done a bit more on the other mage, but I'm burnt out on it. I'm not going to. You know, she's done all the low level flight paths and you know some high levels, but I'm not going to take it any further. It was fun, but I'm not going to do it again.
Once is enough.
I did it on Ashaya, did it on Jekyll and Hyde, did it on one mage. Obviously did it on the priest because she tagged and followed around the mage. So I think I've done it enough.
You've celebrated the fire festival.
I've celebrated big time for sure. So that's pretty much been my week. Haven't done a lot else. I did get back in Ashaya was in a raid on Megtherodon again this week and actually got an offhand upgrade, which was cool. Nice. A little bit more DPS. And we actually one-shotted him as it was the first time we've been in there and actually managed to kill him on the first try. So that's a good feeling.
Yeah.
And what about you? How much have you celebrated?
Well, you know me. Whenever I do something, I get obsessed with it. So I was obsessed with Aprillion getting 350. And, you know, this was kind of hard because she didn't have any of the Outland. She doesn't have most of the Outland stuff. She had Shadow Moon Valley and, of course, Thralmar. And she got into Honor's Hold. And it's funny, like you said, in a lot of these cities, you can get in and out and nobody says anything. But then, you know, if you happen to get there one day when someone has to prove something or somebody's overcompensating. Boy, I can imagine what this must be like on a PvP realm. You know, this must be like crazy.
It can be. I mean, they vary from realm to realm, but yeah, it can be crazy.
Yeah, and I guess if you do get the brazier or you get whatever, then you've got like a badge of glory or a badge of honor. That's for sure.
That's right.
So I wanted the Dancing Draenei and... which I was actually crazy because she had just purchased the Mana Wyrmling for 38G. I think it sold in Netherstorm or something, and one of the guildies was there at the vendor, and she offered, I think it was Crumbelay, offered to buy one for anybody, and you know, no charge, so shout out to Crumbelay, that was very nice. And I really wanted one. Ever since I first saw one, in the Blood Elf zone. Actually, ever since I first saw that that intro of Burning Crusade, you know, they show the Blood Elf sitting there playing with the Mana Worm, and then she sucks out.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Turns evil. That's cool.
Yeah, that was very cool. So I've wanted one for a while, and so now, you know, that's... And it's silly because you can only have one pet out at a time, and she has the Nether... Whelpling from the collector's edition of Burning Crusade, which I have to say wasn't as special as the original collector's edition, don't you think?
Yeah, I thought it was fairly ordinary.
Yeah, and I think everybody had it. Do you use your mouse pad?
No, it's still in the box.
It's still in the box? Okay.
Yeah.
So she's got the and the other thing is with the Mana Wyrmling, she can feed it those biscuits, and it turns into a giant Mana Wyrmling.
But have you done that?
Yeah, that was kind of cool. Yeah. But of course, you know, then the minute she mounts, and it disappears. So
right. Yep.
Yeah. So it's good for photo ops.
Yeah, so, pretty much. That's it.
Yeah. So she ran around and the worst thing was she actually made the mistake of going to places she'd already been before. And that was kind of
annoying. Oh, okay. Yeah.
There's no way to know where you haven't been.
No, you need to either write it down or it's hard as an altaholic.
Yes, because a couple of times...
Which tune's been to which fires.
Yeah, but... The good thing is when she's gone to a new place, she's always had a different group. Because it got kind of funny because, first of all, you know, I have my 3 over 60s. But then I also have on some accounts a couple of 40. I have a 47, and then I have Trishel, who's 55. So, and but they're on the same account with somebody else, so I had to... You know, you have two dedicated pairs most of the time, right? And then two upper and lowers.
That's right.
So, yeah. And then I got obsessed with also getting my lower level people to get at least to 100 because I thought it'd be cool to get 100 blossoms and have the shoulder thing.
Get the shoulders, yep.
And the torch tossing thing.
Did you get it?
Oh, my God. I finally got it, and I realized that lag is a factor.
Yeah, I'm sure
I didn't understand that because I was like, this is crazy. I would be there like for like two or three rounds and not hit nothing.
Yep.
And think, okay, this is bogus. And people are actually doing this. And then finally when I got it, it was like I was going to say the clouds opened up, but it
penny drops. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, is that an Australian thing? A penny drop?
The penny drop. Yeah.
Okay. So
that's probably English actually.
But it also, and this was something else, it depended on where you were. The easiest place to do, and it's funny because some of them, the place to do the throwing was good, but the place to do the catching was bad. The easiest place to do the throwing, the torch throwing, was actually outside of Darnassus. I did with one of my ally alts. And that, because it was right close up, you're right, the little things that you're tossing the torches into were right there.
Right.
You didn't have to pull back, and it was just easy to move the mouse back and forth. But
did you try that Thunder Bluff?
I tried that Thunder Bluff, and Thunder Bluff wasn't good for me.
Okay.
Where was it that? But I did manage to do it in Thunder Bluff. But oh, you know what? Orgrimmar was good for the tossing, but Thunder Bluff was better for the catching. And the catching, for those that haven't done it, or you have to start off near the fire, throw up this torch, and then run over to catch it, and then throw it up again. Well, once you run over to catch it, a few seconds later, it goes up. You throw it up again, and so you need a wide area. At Darnassus, while I was looking down, you know, if anything gets into your peripheral, the camera zooms closer to you.
Right. Yep.
So that was messing me up. But anyway, so I did that. I tried it a few times and couldn't do it. It's only after I almost did a whole bunch of other stuff and I kept coming back to it.
So I thought you were going to say it was only after you threw your mouse across the room that...
Well, the thing was, in order for me to get it on my bank alts, as opposed to trying, you know, these are like level 1 characters, my Ali bank alt is level 7. I would have to either do a bunch of summoning, or I would have to, it wouldn't work. So the only way that they can really get to 100 would be to do this thing, which you can do every day. You can do once a day. They become like part of your daily quests. If you do once you complete it the first time, the two throwing and the catching, then you can go back and do it again and get 10 blossoms a day. So if I can do this every day until Friday, then my lower levels will get the cool shoulders. And then my life will be complete. Oh, wait.
Well, not.
No, then I'll find something else to be obsessed about. Okay, so then in order for Aprilian to get to 350, I knew that she had to do some of the grabbing the faction torches. And there was a bunch of raids going on in the group, in the guild. But, of course, I'm never on at the right time, or I don't have enough chunk of time that I can dedicate to it. So I got Aprilian, Aprilian, Trishelle, and Aunt Rilia. And Trishelle's 55. If I thought about it, it would have been better to do it with Realfire because of the aggro. But we got out to, actually, this was cool, though, because we got out to Azure Mist, out by Exodor. Very easy. We just rode down the wharf and got on the boat. And I guess once we got on the boat, the guards that's on the wharf, I don't think they're allowed to get on the boat.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they run down and they start shooting at you, but then once you're on the boat and you go up on the high end, and of course if you don't shoot back, you're not flagged unless you went ahead and got the flame. But I got on the boat.
You're flagged as soon as you
You run through.
Yeah.
Yeah. But once I got on the boat, they didn't shoot anymore, whatever they do. And I think there was one Alliance character there, but they didn't mess with me. So I was able to get there's a watch, Azure Watch on Azure Mist Isle, and we got that flame, and then we went to the back door and we ran in and we died. There's a back door on Exodor, which is probably the easiest way to get in, but it's the furthest from the flame. Because the flame is in the Crystal Hall. Did you go to Exodor at all?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went in the entrance that was closest to where the flame is.
Okay, so the front.
We kind of ran in. It was like lemmings. We ran in a group, and all the leading people got trampled on and killed by guards,
and a bunch of
followers managed to put the fire out.
Yeah, and you can ride in. Which I guess you can ride in if you're an alliance. I probably didn't know because I don't have any alliance high enough to ride.
that has something to do with it.
So after doing this a couple of times and realizing, okay, I'm not gonna be able to do it with these three guys. But Aprilian is a warlock. Warlocks for the win. So I shouted out in guild chat to ask for some to see if anybody wanted to get summoned, and I got about 4 or 5 responses, and people, you know, I pulled them in, and we basically corpse hopped. I guess that's what you call it. No, it's not corpse. Was when we died, and then we came back and went to the edge of our resurrection, so that we got a little bit further in, and then we died. And then you died. It's funny, I was using Faint Death on my hunters, which works pretty well because it works well against the guards, but the Alliance characters know Faint Death. So if there's somebody
especially when your pet's still standing there beside you.
Yeah, I think I never resurrected. After my pets died, I didn't resurrect them, but they know that, so they would come over the couple of times when they were actually paying attention. They would come over and kill the fainting one. So eventually we ended up doing this, and we get in there, and we're trying to get the flame, and every once in a while we would attract one of the guards, and so we'd have to wait for them to despawn. And finally a couple of level 70s.
It's amazing how many guards actually spawn when a bunch of horde characters run in there.
Yeah, it is.
That's just like, and it seems infinite.
Yep. But it was fun. It was neat. It felt, it gave that, sided thing. It felt like you were in a real battle against somebody, against the opposing forces. So it was a good experience. Shout out to Amigo, Ilna, Flammable, and Forkball and Maui showed up.
Oh, cool.
I know. That was kind of neat. So, actually, I summoned Forkball. I guess that makes me special.
It's a long way to go for Lords. You got to be pretty dedicated to want to ride all the way out there.
Right. Actually, they were almost there because they were at Zoram's stand, and then Maui actually rode out.
Okay. Yeah.
So we got that one, and that was kind of neat because then you go back to your city. Oh, and then we went on to Darnassus, and we got that one. That one was kind of it was easier to get to, and it was easier to get here because it's right on the outside.
You don't even have to go into Darnassus.
Yeah, but there aren't that many guards, and you only have to die a couple of times. So that worked well, and then we went back, and you get to choose between these treats and these flower petals and stuff. Somebody said don't get the flower petals because you don't really see them. Did you try the flower petals?
I didn't get any, but I've seen them. Yeah,
and then you can get some s'mores, and you can get this bag that you can make s'mores with. So that's
I didn't understand the difference between them.
Oh, you can do it again and again with the bag.
But it's still only
5 at a time.
Yeah, but
if you go to a fire,
and
yeah, it's still
expires. It didn't look like you actually could make any more.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it might be daft, but I couldn't figure out what the difference between getting the bag and actually making them was. But
okay. Well, if anybody knows, you can write us at controlaltwow@gmail.com. Okay, I'm at a vendor now. I'm going to take a look. Okay, so the roasted s'mores, you get 5. But with the bag of s'mores ingredients, you can create. But you can. I wonder if you can just create 5 once. Is that what you think?
I don't know.
Well, we'll see. That's one thing about recording a podcast. You can have...
It's cut.
You can actually do stuff while you're podcasting. So we can do like a cooking show or something where we actually do the thing we're talking about. So we'll be back. I got Ishaq, who happened to be in Ogrimmar near the table. And by the way, maybe the tables are in the city because I just looked at a table. I looked at a tent in Silthius, and there was no table, so maybe it is just in the city. So anyways, we'll find out and we'll come back. So then Friday, I took Audrion around to get and Audrion's level 42. And then on Saturday, I did the craziest escort quest ever. Aunt Rilia and Aprilian escorted my level 70 Draenei.
Your level what? Level 70.
77. I'm sorry, 7. Draenei to Ironforge. So, okay, this is crazy on several levels. Because for one thing, she's, you know, I can't put the level 7 Draenei on follow. So I have to keep moving her.
Yep.
And then I've got Aprilian and Aurelia behind them. And then we have to keep watch and shoot everything before before they can kill her. And we managed to get her across. And it was fun.
Cool.
And, you know, it was kind of, oh, yeah, you're right. It just turns into 5, and the bag is gone. So what was the point of that?
What's the difference? I'm glad it wasn't just me. Someone will know. Someone tell us why we're crazy.
Right. Why wouldn't you just buy the s'mores rather than bake them? And they like you said, they both have the same... There must be a logic there somewhere. Anyway, yeah. So, you know, we had to go through all those tunnels, and it's kind of neat because I've done this. I've made the run before, and I guess it must have been for the coins with some lower level characters. And it's so much neater when you're over 60 and you can run through these tunnels, and, you know, they hit at you, and then you go, oh, did you hear something? You know, because I guess they're level 20s and 30 guards. And.
Yep.
Yeah, so it was kind of neat. We got all the way out there, and she got into Ironforge. She was her first time out there, and I don't even know. You know, I'm going to try to get her 100 blossoms so she can get the shoulders, too. And then while we were out there, we decided to go into Ironforge, and we ran. And I ran Trishel out because Trishel's on the same account with the Alliance, so she wasn't there at the time. And it's kind of funny because, you know, I can summon... But I need 3 people to summon. I need to have... So I can summon someone else.
You need 4 accounts.
Right. Or I need... oh, yeah. Well, that's not... I don't think... Sorry. That would be extreme. Although... Oh, never mind. Well, you know what's going to happen when Wrath of the Lynch King comes out? There's going to be a battle chess with all 4 things in it. So... It's going to be kind of hard not to buy that. Don't you think?
That's right. It is going to be hard not to buy that.
Right. So I got Trishel out, and even at level 55, she had no problem. She was actually sitting in Menethil Harbor because I had brought Aprilian and Aurelia out there.
Easy thing.
Yeah. After... trying to get my alliance, her name is Tay, trying to get Tay through there, through from Minothil Harbor to the Ironforge. She kept dying because of those crocodiles. They come running up there and, you know, chomping. So anyway, so Trishel runs out, and we run in, and you can get pretty far in. We actually got in to Ironforge and got to the tram and died. Ooh. So once you run through the tunnel to get to the tram, there's no guards inside of the tram. There's only one guy running around trying to get you to do some rat stuff, and he's pretty easy to kill. So I had them sitting in there, and I had to log off. So then the next day I logged back on, and we managed to get to the flame. While I was running towards the flame, we died, and then we came back again. And I ran into somebody else from the guild who was doing the same thing, and we helped each other get the flame. And then there was one other person who wanted to get the flame that we saw, another horde character. But by then, some rogue, night elf rogue started hanging around. And that just made it harder. And it's funny, all you need is one person. And, you know, they will do something to you to make it so that...
Well, yeah, all they've got to do is interrupt you. They don't have to kill you. They just got to interrupt you trying to open it, so...
Yeah. And then once the guards start coming and, you know, if you could get in, do it real quick. And then even if you die, you've got it. So anyway, so right now I left Trishel. I know I had left Trishel, Aunt Rilia, and Aprilian in the tram. They had the flame and we were going to go to Stormwind. But then I noticed that Aprilian's primal mooncloth countdown had expired. So
priority override.
Yeah, well, you know, you hate to let that linger because then it just adds more time and you can't make more. But the worst thing is now she's got 12 pieces of primal mooncloth. And she's got all the ingredients to make a primal mooncloth bag right now. She's got the nether web, and the mooncloth. But she's been hesitating. She's trying to debate between whether or not she's going to sell the primal mooncloth. You know, because you made her feel guilty about using or whether she's going to make the bag. But I think she's just going to go ahead and make the bag. Of course, there was some supposition that maybe the bags wouldn't be as valuable because once the patch comes, then you can get that nice bag from Harris Pilton. But
for how much?
1,200 gold.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, why buy one bag that'll give you 20 slots when you can buy... we can wait and get a bag that'll pay three times as much and get four slots.
Well, you can wait till you... well, that was the other thing I did this week. You can wait till you get to level 70 and you get a free 20-slot bag.
I heard about that. Where is that?
In ZA.
Oh.
There's a quest that you just wander in there, grab a quest item and come out, and the quest rewards a 20-slot bag. The only thing that makes it difficult is that the quest item is next to the first boss, so you basically can't do it until you've got the first boss down. So Jekyll actually partook in some ZA this week. He's pretty undergeared as a healer for ZA, but we managed to get the bear boss down despite Jekyll being there. I was innovating myself and drinking mana pots, and I still ran out of mana, but we got the boss down anyway. And so then, I was basically just spamming guild chat saying any level 70s want to get their free 20-slot bag. Some of the bunch of people ran in, got the bags, and ran out again. It's a nice upgrade just for being 70.
You know, there was a comment in the guild forum about the Dredgesteed quest and whether or not, not that it wasn't illegitimate, or not that it was wrong or anything for someone to be summoned towards the end, but somebody did say that the Dire Maul quest, something about running around and getting pylons and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you guys did before I got there?
Yeah.
Yeah, they said that that was a fun thing, and I'm using my air quotes. So I think one of my goals over the next couple of weeks is to try to run Dire Maul the proper way.
Okay.
So, of course, I have to go in through Dire Maul East and chase that little imp around so he can give me...
Gotta get your key first. Yep.
Yeah. So I think that'll be fun. And I'm using air quotes again. No, it'll be fun for real. So, I actually... Hearthback, I actually took the Spirit Healer because while she was in the tram, some Alliance characters came out and killed her. And if you're in the tram and you die, you end up in Eastvale.
Yeah. That's where you turn up if you die in Stormwind. It's such a long run back. It's a real pain.
Yeah, and I said, okay. I had no clue. I had because my map's not filled in, and I have no idea how to get back. So I just took the Spirit Hilda and went back. And then Aprilian went back to Thunderbluff, and she got her little dancer. But she, unfortunately, she did not know she could dance with it, so she'll have to go back and do that.
Yeah, just try all the emotes. I won't tell you them all, but just click on it and then try all your normal emotes. You know, slash dance, slash
laugh.
You know, use your imagination. See what it does.
Okay. All right. So and that's led me to yesterday. So or last night, and that was a lot of fun. So I think I'm gonna still try to get a lot of lower alt around and get something. And it's a nice thing to do. Oh, I've been making money too, so that's been good too. Right now, Tay's been selling those horde pets like crazy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's nice to know that Alliance will still buy these pets. And
is it school holidays? Sorry.
Yeah, maybe that might be it. And, you know, for a while there, I was getting some competition, and at one point I was forced to lower my prices almost down to where I wasn't making any profit. But I guess whoever was doing that got tired of, you know, going to Booty Bay or a neutral auction house and doing that whole shuffling thing. So, I'm still doing good there. Yeah, so it's been a good week, and I've had a lot of fun. Running around and dying.
Yep, so everyone's got a couple of days yet. If you want to get a whole bunch of really easy experience on your low-level toons, I suggest get out there and run around and collect these blossoms. It's a very easy way to put on some levels.
Exactly. So I think right now we had a nice treat this week. One of the things we did was we talked to Matterhorn, or Matter.
We did?
Yeah, and he was really enlightening and funny, and he's someone that we run into a lot in Azeroth, because he has a lot of alts. But we're going to play this, and we'll be right back. Good morning. Today we have with us a special guest. We have Matter with us, and Matter is someone I really admire because he is a very determined and good altaholic. Good morning, Matter. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm fine. And of course, Asheo's here. Good morning, Asheo.
Morning, Matter. Morning, Aprilian.
Matter is an altaholic, and he has a bunch of alts just like I do, but he does something that's very fun and unique. He's named them all Matter. Can you tell us why you use the name Matter?
Well, when I started in the guild, I started with a hunter, and he was a Tauren hunter, so I called him Matterhorn. And everyone was calling me Matter, so I thought I'd keep the theme going, so I tried to keep Matter in the names of the characters that came after Matterhorn.
Very clever.
Yes. So can you give us a list of your alts and their profession and, their class and race?
All right. Well, so Matterhorn's a Tauren hunter. He's 70. And the next one's Matadoria, who is a Blood Elf rogue. And she's also 70. Then I have, I guess the other Matter is Matterina, who's my mage, who today just hit 43.
Oh, congrats.
And this time last week she was only level 25, so she's going pretty well.
Which is another reason why I admire Matter, because he does seem to be dinging a lot.
Every time I log in, he dings about three times.
So how long have you been playing World of Warcraft?
Oh, I started April 2005, so over 3 years.
Oh, excellent. And
what did you start off as? Did you start off Horde or did you start off Alliance?
I think if I started off Horde, I'd have about seven level 70s by now. No, I I started off as Alliance, and I've got actually got another two level 70 Hunters on the Alliance side. And I did Alliance for 2.5 years, and then I came to the Horde. And so I've been in the guild for like since April last year, but I wasn't in the guild. This was my like second place to go to. I had like a main guild on an Oceanic server because they tended to have a better server times for me, considering I'm from Australia. So.
Oh really? We didn't even notice that. I thought that was a southern accent. Sorry.
And so you've done what I do as well, and actually broke that rule on Earthen Ring, but you obviously start off on a new realm with a hunter. So those two 70 hunters are on different realms, are they?
Well, they were originally, and this was before they. You could transfer wherever you wanted in terms of to different realms. You had before you had to have only when a realm was full could you then transfer. But now I've been transferring my characters all over the place. So they're actually both on this server. They're both actually on Urban Ring.
Oh, okay.
I'm not playing them.
So you've completely abandoned your Oceanic realms.
Oh, no, I've got a few more characters over there. I've got a few level 60s over there.
Okay. But you brought your 70s over here to have them on the Alliance side for gold and transferring and professions and things?
Well, yeah, when I started, they were very handy for Matterhorn. I mean, because they weren't taking any of his experience. Because I was using them to help Matterhorn level. As long as he wasn't in an instance, they were actually very good at helping him with the quests. He'd do the first shot, and then they'd come up behind him and take on the rest.
Oh, cool.
Oh, so you dual box?
So you dual boxed a Horde and an Alliance.
Yeah, which is kind of handy because. You know the Alliance isn't going to take any of the experience off the Horde. Actually, it does take a little bit, but not nearly as much as when you have two characters grouped together.
Right.
But you can't do follow, though, right?
Yeah. So how did that work with you for not being able to do follow and other assist type things?
Well, basically, I'd have my character. I had Matterhorn where I wanted him already. And then I'd bring in my other character, who already had a flying mount, so he could pretty much move wherever I wanted him to go. So,
cool.
So, what's your favorite class to play?
Well, considering I've got three level 70 hunters, I'm just going to say hunter.
And recently, you decided to do a mage. How is that going?
Oh, it's good. Last night I got to 40, and
congrats! Now you have a portal, right?
Yeah, I've got portals. I've got three because you actually get the first three at level 40.
What cities are those?
It's Ogrima, Undercity, and Silvermoon.
Oh, excellent!
So the same three teleports you get at 20.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Matt has put my leveling of my mages to shame because I was I think I was 25 when you just hit 20 and I'm not 30 yet and you've gone from 20 to 43.
Hey guys, so, I'm gonna pause for a second. Somebody's leaning into their mic and I'm getting a lot of breathing and moving around. I think that's you, Ashea.
That'd be right. I'm trying to sit still. honest teacher.
Please don't spank me.
I've moved the mic away a bit. Does that sound all right?
Yeah, that's better. Okay, so go ahead. I'll edit that out.
I forgot what I was going to ask.
Sorry.
You threw me.
We were talking about.
All right. So yeah. Okay. So you're obviously very adept at leveling very fast. Are you following a guide, or is it just that you've done them all so often now that you know what quests to bunch together and you just work through zones very fast?
Well, when I started off with Matterhorn, he was pretty low. Obviously when I started, he was low. But I didn't know the Horde side, so that part was a struggle for me because I didn't know the Horde quests. But as soon as I got to the area where it was like Stranglethorn and areas where we had kind of the same quests, it was pretty fast to level up because I knew all of this already.
Yep.
So I knew where all the quests were, I knew what I had to do, and I tend to take as many quests as I can for a certain area and just go and do all of those quests and then come back.
Right.
So when you're dual boxing, who are you basically running together?
At the moment, I've been running Matterhorn, which is level 70, and Matarina, who's my level 43 mage.
Excellent.
So have you always only just, have you always used dual boxing for a level 70 helping a lower level, or have you actually tried leveling two characters at low level up together?
Yeah, I basically do it for help rather than, have two characters at the same level.
Right.
Have you gone into any instances, dual boxing?
Oh, many, many instances. Mainly all the low ones.
So where do you kind of draw the line in terms of, hey, it starts to get too hard to... you're effectively soloing an instance on your hunter and just running your lobby through. Where do you find that you start hitting the wall and need more firepower?
Probably Zolfarak gets a bit... I mean, I still make it all the way through, but it's a bit harder.
Right.
Being that it's a level 40... Yeah, but when there's five mobs, and my pet can pretty much handle them all anyway, but, that's when you start to see, when it starts to get a little hard.
What type of pet are you using?
I use a Ghost Saber.
Oh, cool.
And are you a hunter that actually uses the full range of hunter pets? You've got a tanking pet and a DPS pet and questing pet, or you stick with one?
I just my cat, that's all.
Right.
I mean, I do have a ravager on one of my other hunters.
and have you tried
the cat?
Yeah. And have you tried actually dual boxing a high level instance with your Rogue and your Hunter, your 270s, you tried taking them into not just on your own, but with a group of three other people and trying a five-man dungeon dual boxing?
Well, nothing in Outlands except, we did do that one to help Aprilian get her her fell steed. So apart from that, I haven't done anything in Outlands.
Right. Oh, we'll have to fix that.
So what were you guys doing this morning when I logged on?
Oh, we're being silly and collecting blossoms on our lobby mages in the Outlands and getting them all the fly points in the Outlands.
Oh, excellent. That is very silly. How what level do you have, Matter? You had the 40, level 40 mage?
Yeah, so
Matt has got the 43 mage. The mage I'm taking through is, just hit 29 earlier this evening.
And you guys were in Outland.
A level 29 in Outlands has a fairly large aggro radius.
And who was riding with you? Who did you bring with you?
We're doing the shuffle, so Matt would... log into his rogue and hunter and would get to a point and then summon my mage, and then he'd switch to his mage and would summon his mage. So it's been a lot of summoning rather than trying to run with a level 29 mage through the Outlands without a healer. It doesn't work all that well.
Have you, Matta, have you done a warlock?
I've got, on the other server, I've got a level 40 warlock.
Oh, okay, because I thought that maybe you might have Matalock.
In the guild police? That would be Matalock police?
Yeah.
Yeah, so sorry. I've got seven characters in the guild, and the only ones I don't have are Shaman and Warlock.
Any reason why?
There's only 24 hours in a day.
I mean, I'm talking about, have you ever done a warlock? You did say you did one on the other server. Was it a horde or alliance?
It was an alliance.
Now, when you've done a hunter on a horde and you've done a hunter on alliance, is there a difference, or do you find it pretty much the same?
I find it pretty much the same. I mean, I don't feel it any different.
Excellent.
Just the quests, I guess, is the real difference I've seen. You know, it's in terms of learning it and leveling it. I didn't find it any different at all.
Yeah. That's only the low level quests.
And before you came to the Horde side, had you always dual boxed? Were you a raider before you came here and pushing end game content, or have you always been an altarholic and avoided the raiding scene?
Well, I only became a dual boxer after starting to listen to this podcast. So.
Oh, excellent. Sorry. And how do you like it?
It's good. I actually only started this year, the beginning of this year. I got a $100 gift voucher for Christmas, and I just couldn't find any game that I wanted to buy. So I thought, well, I might dual box.
Wow. Yeah, excellent.
Now, what is your setup?
All right. I'm only using one screen, one computer all up, and I just use, I have a windowed setup. So I've got two windows side by side, just slightly overlapping each other so that I can click on one side to the other to change characters.
Right. Yep, I've done it that way. It's quite workable. It's a bit nicer having them on, you know, so they don't overlap on separate screens, but it's just as doable. And sometimes it actually helps if overlapping even more, particularly if you overlap them so that effectively your two mini-maps are fairly close together. So if you've got a miner and a herbalist, you don't have to be turning your neck from side to side. You're kind of just looking in one zone and you can see both the mining and the herbalist nodes fairly close together on the two overlapped mini-maps.
Excellent. So you don't use anything like Key Clone or anything like that?
Nothing like that.
Okay. So do you have any questions for us?
Put him on the spot, why don't you?
I know.
Should have told me if there was a question and answer. I would have made something.
Okay. No, there's going to be an exam at the end.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us. I have to tell you, again, that I admire you, and I admire your rate of leveling. Anything else we want to touch on, Ashayo?
I didn't get an answer for raiding. Have you actually done any raiding, or you're more interested in the leveling process?
Well, I am a very much an altarholic. So I love making new characters, and I guess it's not. I think I'm got into Kara once. And got kicked out because the guy turned up or something. So I haven't done anything.
Right, but what about on your pre-Burning Crusades? you know, back on your alliance, was that just alcoholicism as well, or did you do any pre-Burning Crusades raiding?
Not really, because my first 70, he was only 70 for about a month. He turned 70 in December, and the game came out in January.
Turned 60.
Yeah, he only turned 60 in December.
Yep.
And then January was when the new game came out, so I never really did the whole end
game. Never really got a chance to look at the end game in the original game.
Now, personally, I don't feel like I'm missing anything. I kind of enjoy the way I'm playing now. Do you feel like you're missing anything, or is that something you're going to save for later?
Only the equipment. Otherwise, I don't think I'm missing anything. Be nice to have some purples.
Yeah. So, how many blossoms have you gotten on your characters? Because, you know, Summer Festival is in full heat right now.
Full swing.
Yeah, as it is, as it were.
So, if you actually, given the rate that you've been leveling your mage this week, I would hazard a guess to say that you actually haven't been concentrating on collecting blossoms.
No, she's only got 117.
Okay. Have you gotten into any of the cities?
No.
All right. Well, we're happy to have you as a fan of Control Alt WoW. I can call you a fan, right?
Yeah.
Because we've also gotten some, the regular listeners will remember, we've gotten some emails from Matterhorn, or Matter, and we really appreciate it. And if you'd like to ask Matter any questions, or if you have any similar situations that you want to comment on, you can always write us at controlaltwow@gmail.com. And it's pretty late over there, or is it pretty early? Yeah, it's pretty late over there, right?
if it's early for you, it's late for us.
Yeah.
Well, actually, it's only 10:30. It's not really that bad.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks for joining us, Matter.
All right. It's nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
All right, thanks, Matter. That was really good. I think he takes the whole alt thing to a newer level than we do, because he's really focused.
He's extremely focused. I am very impressed at the speed at which he's been leveling his mage.
You know, after we had that interview, we were just chatting about different things, and one of the things we talked about was the Dark Knight. Oh, wait. What's that new character?
Death Knight.
Death Knight. You know, every time I hear Dark Knight in the news and they're talking about that stupid Batman movie, I keep thinking, oh, is that World of Warcraft? Oh, no. It's Batman.
Yep.
So,
World of Warcraft makes primetime news again.
Yeah, so he was saying about how, we were talking about the Death Knight and how maybe you had to have a level 70 character, the Death Knight would start out at 55, and I said, ooh, I'll have 3 Death Knights because you can only have one on each account. And he said, no, because you have to have a level 70 character. Snap.
Snap.
Ooh, I wanted to do a quick shout out to Morgan Webb. Because she plays World of Warcraft. Did you know that from X-Play? Do you ever watch X-Play?
No.
Okay, maybe. It's a gaming show on G4, and it was a computer network, but anyways, I want to shout out to her because she said at the beginning of her episode the other day, X-Play, what I do when I'm not playing World of Warcraft. So I thought that was funny. But right now we're going to get right into mods. Because every week we want to talk a little bit about mods that we like. You want to go first?
Sure. All right. So I've got 3 easy ones that you just install, and they're not really in your face all the time. They're more about giving you more information with your tooltips. So the 3 that I use, ENH tooltip, which is short for enhanced tooltip, Enchantrix, which is part of the
Auctioneer add-on and a Quick Compare, which I think you can get standalone. It comes with the Cosmos UI, but you can get it standalone as well. So I use those three because they give you so much more information about what you're wearing and your items and things. So, for example, if you've just completed a quest and all the quest rewards are fairly crap, or they're not upgrades, it'll actually show you how much each of them will vendor for. So you can pick the one that's going to make you the most gold. You can see what items are likely to disenchant into and the likely disenchanted value of the item. So you can look at that and decide whether you actually want to disenchant an item or just vendor it. It will also show you the actual enchanting level, the skill that you need to disenchant an item, and it will show you another window that shows you the currently equipped item that matches what you're hovering over. So, for example, if you're hovering over a pair of gloves, it will show you another window with the pair of gloves that you're currently wearing in it, so you can actually look at them side by side and compare the stats on them and you know, quickly see whether they're an upgrade or you know, precisely what the differences are between them. So, yeah, I mean, they're just mods that I just use constantly. It's amazing the number of people that link stuff in guild chat saying, you know, how much is this worth? You know, it's just there. You don't need to, not like you need to go hunting in it, you know, some other mod and to price stuff and get information on stuff. It's just there when you hover over items or you click on an item in chat. So cool. Grab those ones. They make life a lot easier.
All right. I just want to talk about one that I don't know if it's probably has a heavy footprint because it does so much. But the one I really like and I just started using it is called Quest Guru.
Okay. Yep. You mentioned that last week. Yeah.
Right. And I just wanted to talk about a couple of other things that it does that I didn't realize it does. It actually keeps track. It has a history, and it keeps track of the ones you've done. Although it doesn't.
Oh, nice.
It doesn't keep track of the fires you've been to. But it does keep track of the ones you've done, and it keeps track of the ones you've abandoned. So, say, for instance, if you abandon something and you think you might want to come back and get it, you can at least tell you, it'll tell you where to get it, what you've abandoned and where you got it from.
Oh, well, all right, you've sold me. I'm installing that one.
And one of the other things it does is it has coordinates. It tells you what it started by, who finishes it, and it shows their coordinates. So, Quest Guru. And,
okay.
And I
but
really
it's,
like
but it. Doesn't, it's not like Quest Helper. It doesn't
put anything on the map. It doesn't interrupt you. It doesn't constantly...
Okay.
Tell you what to do.
No, I like that because I, you know, especially on my, you know, the Pally and the Priest that have just hit 70, so they've still got a bunch of quests to do. They've still got, you know, a whole zone to do. They're probably hovering around, you know, 15, 16 quests, and if I go out and do the dailies and pick up, you know, 10 or 12 quests, I don't have room in my quest log, and I'm constantly looking, oh, which quest can I abandon, and then making a note somewhere about what the name of the quest was that you abandoned, so that you can pick it up again because it was some chain I was working on that I wanted to keep doing.
Yep. So Quest
just,
Guru
so
will take care
just
of
having it. The keeping the track of the quest that I abandoned is enough for me to install that mod. That sounds good.
Yep. Okay, so let's just go on to emails. So we got an email, and I'm going to read it. It is from Janik from Germany. And it says, hey guys, playing WoW for about a year now, and being a Control-Alt-WoW listener for almost the same time, I finally got around to writing an email to one of my favorite WoW podcasts. Aww.
Shucks.
I think my alcoholism started when I was playing around on my first character, a warrior. I know, very educated choice as a first character. Wow, what a brave man, huh? and I saw a dwarf hunter in Westfall one-shotting everything. I immediately logged out and created a dwarf hunter myself. It went from there. Every time I saw someone else playing a certain class, I just had to create a new alt. Today, my characters are a 70 hunter, a 67 paladin, a 56 warrior, a 54 mage, 3 level 19 twinks, wow, and I've just started a shaman and a rogue. Almost most of my alts are female and alliance, oh well. And I'm not a 13-year-old weirdo, Aprilian.
That's an impressive list of tunes for someone that's only been playing for a year.
I know, and he's got a level 70 and 67. Outdone me. As you can see, I'm a bit of an alcoholic myself. I've been trying to get into in-game stuff, though, / raiding, for some time, but somehow I always manage to get distracted with leveling alts or PvPing on my twinks, etc. I hope to see some in-game content, though, in the near future with my current main, a Holy Paladin, before Wrath comes out. Control-Alt-WoW is definitely one of my favorite WoW podcasts since you guys actually talk about playing the game and your experiences in-game while most podcasts just discuss news concerning WoW. Plus, you're both alcoholics like me. Most of the people I play with just have one character and maybe one alt they don't even play. If I pay $10 to $15 a month for playing this game, I'm not just going to try out one class. That's a good point.
For sure.
I've tried out both factions and a lot of different race class combinations so far. Even if you just level a character to level 20, 25, you get to experience new content or the same content in a different way by playing another class. Plus, it's a good way to become a better team player, in my opinion, to check out all the classes to a certain extent. Anyways, this is already a wall of text, so I'm going to stop rambling. Just wanted to let you know that I really enjoy the podcast. Keep up the good work. And,
cool.
Yeah, and Janik adds, P.S., sorry about the grammar. English is not my first language. Actually, that was perfect, Janik. Thank you.
I've seen a lot worse from people whose English
native language, yeah. So, yeah, thanks, and thanks for the nice comment. And you made a good point. You get to experience more gameplay and different content when you play your alts.
And I agree with him about being a better team player if you actually know other classes more, if you've actually played them.
Right, that way you won't ask your druid to put down totems.
Who would do that?
I don't know. All right, so that brings us to the end of another episode, which I promised myself that we would keep it kind of short this after last week's 1 hour and 40 minutes. I think we did a good job. We've kept it a little over an hour.
Yep.
Yeah. So, again, if you have any comments, please write us at controlaltwow@gmail.com. That's controlaltwow@gmail.com. You can also comment on our shows on our website at controlaltwow.com. There is a place for to comment on the show notes if you'd like to do so. So, anything you wanted to add, Ashayo?
Just that next week, the podcast dings 70 before you do.
Oh, yeah, that's true. And so, stay tuned to see what happens on our level 70 podcast. This is Aprilian for the Horde.
And this is Ashayo for the Horde.
May you always be victorious.
May the gates of Quel'Thalas be open to you. Always.
May our paths cross again.
Catch you later.
Al Dir Shalah.
Go in peace.